2 Samuel chapter 19, picking up in the story with David, and this is just after the civil war with Absalom. All Israel was against David, except for a few people. It wasn't even the tribe of Judah that held with him, because you remember Absalom was of the tribe of Judah. Many people followed him of all the tribes, and not everyone was loyal to David, but David was victorious in a miraculous way. I mean, you think about it, one battle. And then David's going back to Jerusalem, and it seems that the people are very wishy-washy. They go back and forth and back and forth, and we'll go with this guy. We'll go back with this guy. And so anyhow, people were talking about, well, maybe we should bring back King David. They had been following Absalom. Absalom just died. And they said, well, maybe we should have King David. Well, David hears about this, the reports, and David sends to Judah and says, hey, I'm hearing about all Israel wants to bring me back. Why are you the last one to talk about this? Because we're family. And so Judah comes and helps bring him over. And we'll talk more about that. But as David comes over the Jordan River, because he's coming back west to Jerusalem, probably just above there, just above the Dead Sea, probably a little bit, not too far above, but a little bit above, is probably where he forded. And as he's crossing, everybody's coming back to him. Those who were loyal, but also those who weren't. And they want to say, oh, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Which is interesting. We went through this and we're going to go back a little bit. Let's see. Let's take a look at verse, 17. No, I'm going to jump ahead over here. Okay, verse 9. We'll go to verse 9. So it says, and all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, who we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, speaking to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the search, the speech of all Israel is coming to the king, even to his house. Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? Then David talked to Amasa, who was the general of Absalom's army, and he says, you're going to be my general. So strange. He was just fighting against him in the civil war, and he says, okay, now you'll be my general in the stead of Joab, because Joab disobeyed. He killed Absalom, and Joab did other things that were not good, and so he removed him. And so we have that here. In verse 15, it says, so the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal. Okay, Gilgal would be on the west side of Jordan, to go meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Baharim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And the king, and they went over Jordan before the king. So all these Benjamites are coming, and Shimei seems to be the first one to come. It says, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die, and the king sware unto him. We talked a little bit about Shimei I've been saying it that way. Perhaps that's not the right way to pronounce his name. I should look in the Hebrew. But I'll call him Shimei for now. And we read a little bit about that last time. And let's see if I can find where I began. So he comes, he falls down before the king. You remember what he was doing not that long ago? Cursing David and throwing rocks and stones at him. And Abishai at that time says, hey, let me go just cut off his head. Because why should he curse the king? And David said, what? No. So anyhow, he comes back and now, oh, the tables have turned. David's no longer the refugee. He's coming back and now he's going to be king in charge. And oh, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I was so wrong. Let not the Lord impute iniquity unto me. Please don't charge me for what I've done. I know I've done wrong. Please don't remember what I did perversely when you left. Don't take it seriously. Don't take it to your heart. Don't be upset. And he said, I've sinned. That's why I have come to be the first one of the house of Joseph. What? House of Joseph? I thought he was of Benjamin. That's interesting. I think there's other places where, like Psalm 81, where the house of Joseph is used to refer to generally, I believe, like the other 10 tribes. Something perhaps we should look into. But he does say that. He says, I am of the house of Joseph. And well, to go meet my Lord. So I'm the first one to come and talk to you, meet you. And wow, it's apparent that Shimei had some sorrow for what he did. True? Yes. He had some regret for what he did. But you know, so important, I guess, for ourselves, but also, and I'm not speaking this to you because you don't know this, but even when dealing with others, especially children, but 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And you have to think, was Shimei repentant? Or did he have the sorrow of the world? I'm sorry because now I'm in a bad situation and I don't want to be in this bad situation. And you think with kids, you know, oh, I'm sorry. But why are you sorry? Are you really repentant? That's what they need. They need to repent. Repent. It's got to be on their heart. But not just children, but me. Am I just sorry that I got caught? Or am I really sorry and repent? Because godly sorrow works repentance. But if there's no repentance, ungodly sorrow. And so we have to be careful. We don't grieve because of the consequences of wrong only. That's a wrong motive. It's the sorrow of the world. But to repent. Repentance shows godly sorrow. Okay, so Abishai, he says, hey, let's kill this guy. Shimei's actions can be classified as sedition against the king. He is worthy of death, right? Okay. But David says, what have I to do with you? No. No. But by the way, he says that ye should this day be adversaries unto me. David's calling the sons of Zeruiah adversaries to him. It seems like both he and his brother Joab are not on the same page as the king, so much so that they think to do the opposite of what David would do. It's interesting. That's not good in a... If you're a king, or if you're a boss, or if you're whatever, you have some responsibility, and other people are supposed to work together, and it doesn't, you know, they're not on the same page. Not a good situation. But anyhow, it says, David says, for do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? David was secure in his kingship. He knew that he's king, and we don't have to prove it by killing this guy. So David said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. So he made that promise to him. Again, just like when he left, so many people coming up to him. As he's coming back, so many different people coming to him. And you see in verse 24 that Mephibosheth comes as well. He says, 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My Lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them, them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And we'll read the rest in a minute. But so Mephibosheth, he shows up, and again, it's Mephibosheth, the son of Saul. I believe he came with the men of Benjamin. Ziba was there, and others. It says in verse 17 that there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with Shimei. So they come, and his appearance, he had not dressed his feet, trimmed his beard, washed his clothes until the day he came again in peace. No, he hadn't kept himself. Why would he not do that? Do you remember what Ziba had said, the servant? You remember before when they were leaving? Ziba comes to meet David when he's leaving, and he's giving him all this stuff. And he says, well, where is thy master's son, Mephibosheth? And Ziba said, oh, he thinks that today the Lord's going to make him king over Israel. And so that's what Ziba said. Mephibosheth says, that's not true, not true. And it's interesting how he had not shaved or done any of those things. I mean, do we really know what's in their heart? Maybe not. But Mephibosheth's response seems to validate his commitment to David, meaning he wasn't happy that David had left. Meaning probably Ziba lied. But at the very least, there seems to be animosity between the two, Ziba and Mephibosheth. And neither of the two motives were pure, perhaps. Maybe they, I don't know. But they weren't getting along together. Ziba says, oh, Mephibosheth doesn't care about you. Mephibosheth comes and says, oh, Ziba lied. And so David questions him. And he says, you know, where were you? Why didn't you come with me? By the way, in verse 25, it says, and it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? When he came to Jerusalem. Who came to Jerusalem? In verse 24, it says Mephibosheth went down to meet the king. You don't go down to Jerusalem because Jerusalem's up on a hill when you see it going up to Jerusalem. But he went down to meet him because he's going down to Gilgal. He's going where the king is actually passing over. He says that he met him in Jerusalem. It's interesting because it has the verb there, and then it has Jerusalem, which, if you know Hebrew, Hebrew has the subject after the verb. Okay, and there's no to there, no lamed preposition. And so it's interesting. Probably Jerusalem should be the subject here, that Jerusalem went down to meet the king, which makes sense because they would come down to meet the king. And as you're going to see, if he went to Jerusalem to meet the king, wasn't he already in Jerusalem? And then, okay, well, is David in Jerusalem yet here? No, he isn't, actually. So if you look at the grammar, you'll see that, okay, it's probably Jerusalem came down to meet the king. So it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem, probably rather Jerusalem came to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? So he asked the question, and David rightfully asks why Mephibosheth didn't come. By the way, that's good. It's good to get both sides of the story, right? Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame to him. But really, David doesn't really seem to be looking for both sides here. Rather, it's for Mephibosheth to give an account. Why did you do this? And, okay, Mephibosheth had that response saying, my servant tricked me. He deceived me. I wanted to go, but I couldn't. And he says, Ziba slandered me. He talks about how David's as an angel of God. As the angel of God, do therefore what is good in your eyes. Meaning, you'll do right. You decide our case between us. I know you'll do right. He's kind of just pleading. He's just putting himself out there onto David, trusting that David's going to do the right thing. And he goes on by saying, I don't deserve your kindness. All of my father's house were but dead men. I don't have any right to cry to the king, meaning to complain, to bring his complaints before the king. I don't have any right before the king. You've been more than generous is the idea. And so you see again Mephibosheth's humility. Now, okay, is he humble because king's coming back and now his situation's different? I don't think so. I think Ziba had lied before. But you can think about that. He's relayed his story and he resigns himself to the king's judgment. Hey, that's a good way to live, I believe. We do that with the Lord, don't we? We pray, we talk to the Lord, here's the situation, Lord, like Isaiah laying the letter out before the Lord. And then what do you gotta do? You gotta leave it with him. And that's what he does. He'll do what's right. He will not withhold good from those who walk uprightly. David decides, verse 29, he says, and the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. That's not what he told Ziba. You remember when he told Ziba when they were leaving? He says, you take everything, Ziba. And then now David's saying, well, I've already told Ziba, you guys divide the land. Like, okay, a little strange. But he says, hey, don't talk to me anymore about this. I've already decided this case, seems to be what David's saying. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. Interesting stories. Mephibosheth reveals that the land isn't important to him, all the possessions. He's just glad that David is back and safe. You know, that heart for the king, that's really good. That should be my heart. Not to simply love what God does for me. I love that the king provides food for me and I have all these things from the king. Not to simply love that, but just to love the Lord himself. Not just the blessings, but to love the blesser. And that's kind of the spirit of Mephibosheth. But isn't that what it should be for us? Yes. Not the blessings, but the blesser. And this really shows the attitude of submission. You know, either you're happy to get stuff so you can do more of what you think is best, or you're pleased to place yourself under the authority of the giver of all that's good and the giver of prosperity. And whatever he gives, we're pleased with because we know that's best. You can see that kind of submission is it's what we need. Okay, let's talk about Barzillai, the Gileadite. It says that in verse 31, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Roglim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man. We talked about this. Even 80 years old. 80 years old. And he had provided the king a sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim. And we already talked about that a couple weeks ago, I believe. For he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Now Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered Chimham, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half of the people of Israel. So, okay, so you have Barzillai the Gileadite, this man, he went over with the king to conduct him. So he's just going over the Jordan to help him. He had helped him when he was in Mahanaim, giving all that he needed with some other people. But he was a very great man, a man of means, and he helped out with what he could do. And he was significant. His age was significant, probably because maybe I don't know, but maybe people didn't live to be that long back then. I'm not really sure in David's time. We know that just, you know, 400 or 500 years ago, you have Moses, who's living to be 120 years old, etc. But still, that was pretty old, I believe, even in that day. But regardless, the Lord had blessed Barzillai in many ways, and God had blessed him with stuff, with long life, and all of these things, and he used it. He used it to help the king. And David wanted him to come over. Come with me, and you can live at the palace. I'll feed you with me in Jerusalem. And David rewards Barzillai's kindness. And that's good, isn't it? I mean, if David just said, thanks, see you later, see you around. Not very grateful, right? But he did reward him with kindness. Very good. And so Barzillai was a man of means, perhaps his status. Perhaps he had status because he was a man of means. Hopefully, that's not what drew David to invite him to Jerusalem, because he's a man of means. I don't think so. But you can see how that could be a temptation, you know. I like this guy because he and I are a lot alike, and, you know, I'm successful, and he is too, and so we're going to be buddies, and, hey, you come over, and you can have all my stuff. We're going to be friends because, you know, we have respect unto them. But old Joe here, he, you know, I don't know if he passed the fifth grade, and I don't know. Okay, we don't do anything for him. That was what he was talking about in James, we know. He says, don't have respect of persons. He says in verse 6, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? This is in James 2. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So I'm not saying David was doing that, but I bring it up because I got to remember not to do that. Somebody that looks rich, I need to be friend to them too. Someone that looks poor, I need to be a friend to them as well. Barzillai said, how long do I have to live? I'm not going to go up to Jerusalem. I'm old. I can't enjoy all the things. I eat the food. It doesn't, you know, I can't discern the taste. Can I hear? I can't hardly hear anymore. The voice of singing men, singing women. I'm just going to go. I'll be a burden to you. I mean, you can hear somebody saying that. And, he says, I can't enjoy all the benefits you're giving, so there's no reason for me to go. He said, I'm just going to go with you a little bit over Jordan, and why are you going to reward me for that? I'm just helping you a little bit. So I like Barzillai. And but he also does this. Barzillai thought about others. He says, hey, what about Chinham? Why don't you take him? Take him in my place. You do to him what you wanted to do to me. Wow, you know, he's setting up. And you know how people want to set up their children or grandchildren or the next generation. And you can kind of see that here in this man. He says, you take him and you do all that seems good unto you. And it's very good. Philippians 2:14, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Well, the king answered, okay, he will come over. Chinham shall come over with me, and I will do to him that which seems good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. So David shows the gratitude to him. You notice what David doesn't do? He doesn't fight with him. He doesn't say, you got to come over. No. You got to come over. Sometimes we fight with each other. Somebody's trying to be kind and say, hey, do this. Or maybe someone politely declines and you got to make them take something or make them whatever, you know, bless them. And you got to take it. I don't know if that happens in your family. It happens in my family. You can't do anything for your mother or certain people. And so you just think, I can't receive a blessing. I just want to do something for you. But you know, David, you know, he takes Barzillai and Barzillai says, no, I'm not going to go. And he says, okay. He respects that. And he actually fulfills his request to take Chimham. You know, sometimes other people know what's best for them better than I know what's best for them. And so if they say, I don't want to, or no, thank you, don't force it thinking this is what they need. They'll be better off if they take this. We ought to listen to them, comply. That's a way to bless them as well. Comply with them, as well, in the Lord, of course. But David, he complies with the man. And all the people went over Jordan, it says. We read that the king kissed Barzillai. He blessed him. He returned to his own place. They went to Gilgal. Gilgal again is on the west side. So they crossed the Jordan. They're on the west side of the Jordan now. And wow, God restored David through all of this. You know, there's always consequences for sin, and God can and will restore fellowship with a repentant person, though. He will. I just think of the story of Manasseh. We think of him as so wicked, and yes, he was, but I also think he turned to the Lord at the end of his life. He did. It's amazing. Wow. And the Lord will take anybody who will, he'll do that. Just turn to him. Turn to him. And there's so many verses we could read. Considering David and Hebrews here, Hebrews chapter 12, he says, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so sometimes we have chastening in our life, but it yields the fruit of righteousness. Which kind of goes back to 1 Peter and those trials that yield that fruit as well, that praise and that glory and that honor. That is appearing because we go through those trials or that chastening. You think, I don't like what's happening to me. But if we respond right and we change, we say, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I was thinking wrong. I did wrong or whatever. And then you think, wow, now you're restored back into fellowship and there's fruit there. That fruit of righteousness he talks about. Like, wow, hey, that's why the Lord does it. Not because to be mean, but he wants fruit. Okay, we'll just look at these next few verses briefly, and it'll set up what we'll talk about next time. Israel is upset with Judah. If you look at verse 41, and behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away, and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin unto us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost, or hath he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. And I know it kind of seems to stop there, but chapter 20, it just keeps going, and it's not going to be good. It's a civil war again. It really hasn't ended. But the men of Israel, they question David. Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away? They're already using this language, hyperbole, that somehow Judah's coming and taking David and stealing him away from everybody else. Not true. It's not true. But isn't that what happens? You get upset with something, and what do we start doing? We start using the strongest language we can use, right? Within good bounds, right? But we want to, if I have to say, well, you never, you always, it's a, and we use this hyperbole. And you can see that this is not good already. Got to be careful. You know, you got a confrontation that has to happen, but stick to the facts. Stick to the facts. Be careful. This seems to be a control issue, though. They're concerned about who has control, which is not good. Shows a lack of trust in the Lord. Can we let go? Can it be okay? Can we let go? Can we trust the Lord? Judah responds. He says, well, we've done it because he's near of kin to us. Why are you angry with us? We haven't benefited. We didn't eat of the king's table. He hasn't given us any gifts. We're not getting anything out of this. He's from Judah and we're from Judah. And Israel responds, we have 10 parts in the king, and we also have more right in David. I know that word is italicized there, right? Why did you despise us that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? So, what rights did they have, though? You know, what is their rights? What or does anyone have? We never have the authority to do that which is against the design of God. You never have that authority. I'm the president, so I can do this or that. Or I'm the king, or I'm the dad. I'm the man of the house. I can do this or that. You can only, your authority is bounded by the design of God. You can never overstep that bounds and have a right to that authority because it's never right. Never right to violate the Lord, no matter what authority, because you're never given authority to violate the Lord. But anyhow, they thought they had some sort of right in David here to do something because they had 10 parts and Judah only one. You didn't ask my advice. What difference does it make? He's going to Jerusalem. It'll be okay. But doesn't that happen? Oh, you ever experienced that? It's never a good situation. Somebody gets upset because, well, you didn't ask me. You didn't ask what I think. Wow. Now, not fun to be on the receiving end, but it's very easy. It can be easy to feel that way, whether it's expressed or not. Oh, they didn't ask me. They should have asked me. And maybe sometimes they should have asked you, but we must never let that pride, because really that's pride. Oh, that's a problem. It'll divide and destroy. Anyhow, they end by saying this, and the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. People problems. Isn't that all what's going on here? Fighting with Absalom, his son, and the people say they're against him. First they were, you know, we're going to try and kill him. And then, I guess we'll take him back. And then, Judah brought him back. Well, now we're upset. Now we're going to have, in chapter 20, they're going to have another coup, and they're going to start fighting him again. Wow. Isn't that crazy? People. But you know, people are everywhere. And we are one of them. I'm a people. And I'm part of the problem. But you know, the Lord help us. The Lord help us to take, well, these examples, we can take them and we can see how people responded. This is not prescriptive. It's not telling you how to live. It's descriptive. It's telling you what happened. But we can see the results. We can compare it with Scripture. And we can say, That's not right. That's not right. And you can see the results of what happened. And the Lord help us to keep that in mind, because people don't really change that much from century to century. Dear Lord, please help us. Help us to be humble and righteous. And Lord, I pray that you'd use us, and we thank you. Amen.